Welcome to Sportsman of Colorado, Colorado's premier outdoor radio show, heard every Saturday afternoon on KLZ 560, with insights on hunting, fishing, archery, guns, and ammo from Colorado's top outfitters, featuring the industry's leading experts on how to enhance your experience in the great outdoors. Now, here's your host, Scott Whatley.
Good afternoon and welcome to Sportsman of Colorado. Wow, what a beautiful day in the Mile High City. Kind of wish I was doing something else for this hour, but we've got a great show lined up for you today, and we've been promoting this here for several weeks. Glad to welcome in studio today several guests, and this is going to be a jam-packed show for us, but glad to have Mr. Bob Brochad back with us. And Bob is the director at Colorado Parks and Wildlife. How are you, sir?
Great, Scott. How are you?
Good, man. Good to see you again.
Good to see you.
And then a returning guest as well, Mr. Dan Gates from Colorado Trappers and Predator Hunter Association.
Thanks,
Dan.
Scott.
How are you, bud?
Good.
Man, that was a good banquet, that SCI banquet I saw you at
there. It really was.
Yeah, they raised a lot of good money,
too. They put a lot of stuff on the auction block, a lot of stuff on the table. There's a lot of money raised for conservation.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's great. And then also, this gentleman's been in, I believe, once before, right, Andy? All right, Andy Treherne, and he is with the Congressional Sportsman's Foundation, and we're going to be talking with Andy as well. Wow, where to start? First of all, let's do this. Let's inform you of a couple of big dates. April 4th is a huge date because that is the deadline to get your tags in for the big game here in Colorado. And we've been going over this the last few weeks about the common mistakes that people make, if you're going as a group, how to do that. And we've been reviewing all those few things. But I'm telling you, don't make a mistake there by just trying to do these paper things. Do it online. I was just helping a friend the other day, and boy, all the numbers, it will not let you proceed if you mess up, and that's a good thing. So do it online, and again, that is April 4th. That has to be postmarked by and get that in. And then your turkey tags over the counter, those are open right now. And then that is April 8th for spring turkey, and that'll go through May 21st. And we I don't want to rehash everything we've been going over the last few weeks, but make sure you read the 2017 Colorado Big Game Guide. Right inside the front cover, all the things that are new, and I don't care how long you've been hunting, make sure and go through and read that. There's several different things that are very, very important, and if you do something wrong there, can't plead stupidity, all right? They're going to take that pretty serious. So make sure you do your due diligence and be a good sportsman and outdoorsman, and make sure you're abiding by all the laws. All right. This gentleman is so popular, kind of like our President Trump. You know, can't make everybody happy. Mr. Bob Brochad. Oh, wow. So let's just talk about some of the things, and we really don't have an agenda. We have a ton of stuff to talk about, but, you know, one of the big things of recent, over the last few months, and I went and did a little deal with Fox 31 on this when it first came out about the mountain lion and bears and all that that you guys did some studies on and figured out a way to handle that. Let's educate our audience a little bit about maybe, you know, first of all, what the issue was, and then how you guys went about determining your best way to handle it.
You bet. And I'll try to be brief here. I'm not, you know, going to talk down to folks, but I think, you know, as we're looking at as wildlife managers that, you know, you're watching what's going on in the landscape. And for several years, we've seen two parts of the state, down in the Arkansas and the other in the Piance, where we're not seeing deer numbers the way we want them to be. It could be a whole host of factors that are out there. Our folks have been looking for the last 10 years down in the Arkansas area that what's going on? Why are these deer healthy, but why are we not seeing young being recruited into the population?
Mm-hmm.
And so as wildlife managers, you have a list of the usuals, right? Habitat fragmentation or loss, disease, predation, all of those things that, you know, kind of the top contenders. We've ruled them out, and we believe, and this is the scientific question, Scott, is predation having a significant impact on the recruitment of those young into the population? And our folks designed a study both for those two areas. It's over a 10-year period. And we're going to test it. There's a lot of opposition on the other side. We're certainly feeling that, and we've also understand that. But you know, at the same time, is we have to ask the questions. This is what science is about. You don't know the answers. It seems like a lot of people do have the answers.
Man, I've met hundreds of guys who got the answer.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's got the answer or the opinion, and that's fine. But, you know, we have got to continue to hold sacred the fact that science needs to drive management decisions. And when we don't have the science, which we believe we don't, we need to test it. And we need to go out and do a scientifically rigorous study that will help give us that information. The next decision point is, okay, now what do we do about it?
Right.
So we're going to do something I think is landmark that a lot of other states don't do or haven't done with regard to collaring lions and deer down in the Arkansas. And we're also going to be collaring some deer addition to what we have. And we're going to try to remove some of those lions and bears in those areas and see what kind of an impact that has. Mm-hmm. Certainly the growing lion and growing bear populations is nothing new.
Right.
And they can have a level of impact that's beyond normal. It's an additive mortality to that population, and certainly down in the Arkansas, Scott, we have just dropped licenses down in that area for a lot of your listeners that live down there. They know. So it's time to do something about it. There's a lot of folks that are arguing science. There's a lot of folks that are trying to argue a whole bunch of other things, and we believe we've got the question, and we've got a scientific study here, and we'll see what comes out the other end. Hopefully, right, it'll come up with some answers.
What do you say to those people about, let's just take bears, though, where they say, you know, we cut out the spring bear season. Why not just bring the spring bear season? Because, I mean, I've been asked that, and I told them I'd ask you that, and I'm looking at you, so I'm going to ask you that. Well, why not just bring that back?
We'd have to change state law to do it, and that was passed by a ballot initiative to amend the statute. It's not in the Constitution, and that basically prevents us from hunting them from May to September 1st of every year. Certainly, that has an influence on bears and bear survival. So once the season starts in September, we have tried to do just about everything we can. Instead of piling a whole bunch more licenses in that area, that it's the hunters are doing their job. The problem is that a couple of those tools have been removed. Use of dogs, hunting them in the springtime, those types of things, and it's trying to manage with a foot and a hand tied behind your back. And so that's what we've got to live with. And until the legislature changes the law, we're kind of stuck with managing the way we're managing it.
And you know what? When I did the interview with Fox 31 about this, whether you agree or disagree with it, you guys don't do knee-jerk reaction. I mean, like I say, whether you agree with what you do or whether you don't, I mean, you do put a lot of study and money into things to try to figure out what's best. Because, after all, the end result is that we've got a healthy population of all the animals that we want to hunt, right?
Right. Well, you're right. Science, you know, needs to be the foundation, but there are other factors. There's financial, there's social. We've got a constituency that I think we need to continue to be accountable to and be able to explain this. There's also political. We've got to be cognizant of all of those factors. But in my view, science is really what driven us for the past 100 years to where we are now. And we don't have all the answers. I'll be the first one to admit. Our scientists will be the first to admit. But I think if folks are going to prevent us from asking the question and implementing something under science and a rigorous science methodology, then, you know, where are we going to be? I think you push that out the side. Now we're talking about social and political and probably financial start to drive that. That's a shift that's been going on for a couple decades now, slowly turning.
Right.
And I'm really proud that CPW has such a robust research program because it allows us to drive, design those studies, drive it, use sportsman's dollars to answer those questions. And where I just say to a lot of the opposition is, where would we be if we weren't implementing science 50, 60, 70 years ago?
Yeah. Dan, as you make all the circuits and banquets, I know guys talk to you as well, and I shouldn't say just guys, women as well.
You bet.
Hunt. What are some of the things that you're hearing, and what are some of the things that you talk about?
I think a lot of it has to do with misinformation. People either getting fed information from one source or another, or misinterpreting it, or not being engaged on a intimate level to where they understand the ramifications and repercussions of their actions, CPW's actions, the legislators' actions, the sportsman community as a whole. I would mention that, you know, the last 2 years in the legislative session, there were two bear bills that were introduced that did not make it out of committee. They wouldn't have allowed spring bear hunting, but they would have given CPW some additional avenues to maybe address some of the bear issues in some locations. But it didn't make it out of committee. And, you know, sportsmen need to become more engaged and more involved on a much larger scale. Going to a banquet's great. Joining an organization is fantastic. But when it comes down to it, inner working relationships between sportsmen and sportsmen groups, their legislators and the people that are making the decisions, it's imperative to continue to have that sort of dialogue. Mm-hmm. We are the minority in this state. I mean, there's 100,000 people a year moving into this state. Probably less than 6,000 of those hunt. They come in at a large scale, and that once were non-residents applying for licenses are now applying as residents. And with a specific allocation amount for residents versus non-residents, the non-resident mentality is becoming more resident-based. And those guys are speaking out. Those guys are participating. And the old-school resident, the native resident hunter, needs to participate on just as large of a scale.
Sure. Again, our guest today, several. Mr. Bob Broshad. He's Colorado Parks and Wildlife Director. Dan Gates is with the Colorado Trapper and Predators Hunter Association. And also Andy Treherne, and he is with the Congressional Sportsman's Foundation. Again, we're going to try to get to some calls here. We've just got a lot of information, so be patient with us on the calls. One question I did want to ask you, because a gentleman did ask me to ask you this last week. And, you know, so much is being done for youth. And every person I know is glad for that. Okay, so nobody wants to come across like they don't want kids to be out there hunting. But what they are, my wife always says, anytime you say but, that negates everything you just said. So, however.
She said head with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, I get that too. However, some of these, what we'll call trophy units, take a lot of points, a lot of years to get. So here's a guy that's maybe been applying for 10, 15, 18, 20 years. Still not being able to get a tag, but a young person, maybe 17 years old, they can go get that this year, possibly. So what do you say to that sportsman that's been trying to get those tags year after year? They've been supporting you guys, buying licenses all these years. They may have a few years to hunt, and yet that young person may have 40 years to hunt. And again, nobody's against the youth by any means, but they'd like to get them a moose or a sheep or whatever. So yeah. What do you say to that real quick?
Guys, keep putting in, you know, the whole discussion about youth and adults even now that are just mm-hmm. getting into hunting or fishing, you know, the commission at some point, every state does this differently. We're trying something. The commission, you know, none of this stuff is set in stone, and we do understand what's going on. In fact, we ran into leftover licenses where high quality unit licenses were being refunded. And then we were reissuing them. It was kind of the same deal, was anybody could walk in over the counter and now buy it.
Okay.
And so the people with large numbers of preference points lose. You know, the commission made a decision a while back that 10% of the licenses across the board were going to go to youth. It's just a sacrifice that, you know, at the time we thought this was a great idea. And we do know that the whole preference point, it's not just even with youth, that the commission's been wrestling with this, is how can we create a better system without leaving the people that are in the system now behind? And I'll tell you, Scott, I'm open to suggestions. There's really no easy way to pull on that thread.
Sure.
And but I think, you know, the having the youth out there is a really, really good thing, and we need to keep it up. But is the licenses and the allocations and all of those things the best way to do that? I think it's a piece of the overall puzzle, mm-hmm. and it's not the silver bullet, because there are other things. There's a lot of family. There's cost. There's access. There's mentors. You know, it's all of those things that need to be talked about when we talk about youth recruitment, in my mind.
Right.
And I know with the preference points, it's a bum deal. And we're always constantly looking for ways to improve it. And, you know, I'm all ears.
Sure. I think it's a double-edged sword, though, because for years, I heard from a lot of sportsmen saying, my kids will never draw under this current system, period. Mm-hmm. So what's the use of them putting in? My kid, for instance, drew, as I told you outside, drew a sheep tag and a moose tag well before I did. But without him getting involved at that level, maybe he wouldn't be a participant in his 20s and 30s and so forth. So I think it gives them an opportunity to get in on that ground level.
Yep.
But I think it's double-edged. The one guy has 25 points. He's griping because he's never going to draw. But then the flip side of that, the other guy who has 20 points, who's probably never going to draw either, is griping that his kid will never, ever draw because he's at the very bottom end of the spectrum. So, I mean, you're not going to please everybody. It's just trying to figure out what's best for the overall resource and the opportunity.
I think you can look at some of the eastern whitetail states as well, where they have these apprentice hunting programs that allow kids to try before they buy, before they go through hunter ed. We have that here in Colorado now, but a big premise of that model and its success in the whitetail states is giving kids a good opportunity to harvest an animal. And that's a little more difficult with Western big game hunting. And so I think you can, at a minimum, make a pretty strong argument as to why we should be making an investment into these kids and giving them a good opportunity that'll keep them coming back, not only this year, but down the road.
You're listening to Sportsman of Colorado. We got to take a short break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Coloradans love to hear the bugle of the bull elk and the mating calls of the cow and bull moose. But there's a new sound in the high country. Extreme animal rights and environmental groups have launched a campaign to unleash 1,000 wolves into the Colorado Rockies. Colorado wildlife populations can't sustain another major predator. That's why Big Game Forever and Colorado sportsmen's organizations are joining forces to stop this from happening. To learn more about Colorado's wolf issue, Google blog biggameforever.org. Join, donate, and volunteer.
I was injured in an accident. At first, I didn't worry about it too much. I mean, accidents happen, right? But then the pain started keeping me up all night. And these doctor's bills, they started piling up. So now I'm stuck with a bunch of bills that I can't afford. And on top of all this, the person responsible is just avoiding me altogether. Come to think of it, since my accident, it seems like no one wants to talk to me. I just don't know what to do.
Don't just talk to anyone about your personal injury case. Call me, Kevin Flesh, at Flesh Law to get a professional opinion. I will answer all your questions, and I will help you determine if you're entitled to compensation for your pain and suffering. I have the experience and knowledge to navigate the complicated maze created by the insurance companies designed to minimize your claim. If you've been injured in an accident, call me, Kevin Flesh, at 303-806-8886 for a free consultation to find out if we can help you get the compensation you deserve.
At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, we believe that all pets deserve to have a good life. And because we know that your pet will have many different needs throughout its life, we offer complete pet care services every day, all at one location. Whether your furry friend needs a checkup, advanced medical care, surgery, boarding, grooming, obedience training, food, care products, or toys, we are here for your pet 7 days a week. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, we know that you want the very best for your pet, which is why you can count on us to provide top-notch care in everything we do. We are certified with the highest rankings by the American Animal Hospital Association and hold a gold star rating with the Better Business Bureau. You and your pet can visit us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m., Saturday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. We are located at 8681 East Lincoln Avenue in Lone Tree. Learn more about us by visiting our website at lonetreevet.com or just give us a call at 303-708-8050.
Tired of walking into gun stores and seeing the same guns everywhere you go? Check out our sponsor, Old Steel Historical Firearms. Hi, this is Scott Watley of Sportsman of Colorado. At Old Steel, they specialize in the purchase and sale of historical firearms. Need to get your firearm collection appraised? They can help. Buy, sell, trade, and consignments are welcome at Old Steel. Open 10 to 6, Monday through Saturday. Old Steel Historical Firearms is located at 12 East Girard Avenue in Englewood. That's just two blocks north of Hamden, off Broadway. Now you can own a piece of history at Old Steel Historical Firearms. Call 720-662-7252. That's 720-662-7252. Check out their website, oldsteelguns.com.
Hi, Dan Johnson, General Manager at Len Lyle Chevrolet. You know, I hear it all the time. If you give me a good enough deal, I'll buy your vehicle. So here it is. A 2017 Crew Cab 4x4 loaded for up to $11,000 off MSRP. Or how about a 2017 Chevy Cruze? Sign and drive lease for only $199 a month. Heck, that's cheaper than a used car. And we'll pay top dollar for your trade-in. So go east and pay the lease. Len Lyle Chevrolet, I-225 in East Colfax, or on the web at LenLyleChevy.com. Chevy, find new roads.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Sportsman of Colorado. If you're just joining us, my name is Scott Watley. We have Mr. Bob Rochad in studio. He's the director for Colorado Parks and Wildlife. Dan Gates is with us from Colorado Trapper and Predator Hunters Association. And also Mr. Andy Trehearne is with us from the Congressional Sportsman's Foundation, and we'll be learning more about that organization in just a moment. A couple of quick banquets to remind you about that we're involved with, Outdoor Buddies. April 22nd, that is at the Hyatt Regency in Aurora, and I'll be emceeing that banquet, so we would love to see you there. Then also American Heroes in Action, another terrific organization that helps get some less fortunate folks out in the woods and letting them get to enjoy some things out there. So April 29th is that banquet, and that's the American Heroes in Action, and that's at the Castle Event Center, and doors open at 4:30. So you can go to AmericanHeroesInAction.org for that banquet, or OutdoorBuddies.com, and you get your tickets there. Now, Outdoor Buddies, they're over at Centennial Gun Club today selling some raffle tickets. They'll be over there today and tomorrow. We may get a call from them before the show's out. But if you're by that Centennial Gun Club, go in there and buy some tickets and help them out. All right, sir. Mr. Bob Brochad, again, is with us and trying to talk about some of the things that we hear about as we're out and about and just kind of cover as much as we can in our hour. But fees, we heard a lot of controversy, you know, and Dan and I were talking about this at the SCI banquet a couple weeks ago. We were at together, but you know, so many times, and this is why I like to have you guys on as much as we can, because things can get turned around out there and misinformation, and then everybody's out telling everybody stuff that's just not true. Mm-hmm. And that's why I like to get you guys on, just to get it straight. So where are the fees going to go, and what's going on with our fees for tags?
Great question, Scott, and I know we talked a little bit about it last time we were on the show, and you know, this is one, we have so many fees for licenses that are out there. And for the last about 18 months, we've been having these, we've had meetings, we've had email, website, gone out and really tried to gather as much input into this process as we can. And one is making our customers aware of what our financial situation is. And then here's some solutions to try to fix it. And certainly looking at the fees for hunting and fishing licenses has always been a part of that. That's our main amount of revenue. And so we've been working, of course, with members in the legislature, sportsmen groups, others that are interested in this, is where do we go from here? Now, there's kind of two paths. One is we could go to each individual license and say, let's raise it to this or to that. What's the percentage? Or the other path that we're looking at doing right now with the legislature is can the legislature grant the authority to the commission to continue on with these discussions? So basically put a cap or put any other restrictions on it, and then let's the commission and the agency play in that box.
Right.
And it allows us now to go out and actually talk to the folks that are paying and say, talking about continuing to look at the revenue situation and what we're trying to continue to be relevant about, and what sort of licenses and fee structures would look like in that point. I think going back to the youth discussion we just had is there the ability for us to create family licenses, lifetime licenses, those kind of things, that is another consideration when you're talking about recruiting youth. It's a very family oriented.
Sure.
So to us, is what we're proposing is that we can get that authority now to continue over the next year to have those discussions. And so we'll see how the bill goes. It's going to be an uphill battle. Certainly, there's a lot of concern about granting such authority, but I'm not worried because I think, having the ability to go and talk to the paying customer here about what it is they like, we're not going to satisfy anybody, and I think we would just get marred down in the mud about 10 cents on this license or $10 on that license. Sure. So.
And Andy, again, your group is the Congressional Sportsman's Foundation. Tell us a little bit about your group, and then you said there's going to be a special day here for sportsmen at the Capitol, too.
Sure. Thanks, Scott. Our group is founded in 1989 as the nonprofit to support the Congressional Sportsman's Caucus in Washington, D.C., and that's a group of legislators that made the decision to come out and say, hey, we support hunting and fishing, and we want to work on both sides of the aisle to find solutions and develop relationships with the sportsman's community. We also have a state program called the National Assembly of Sportsmen's Caucuses. So we help manage the Colorado Legislative Sportsmen's Caucus, for instance. Gives an opportunity for folks that are involved with groups like Dan's to come down to the Capitol and meet with similar legislators on the state level that say, yeah, I want to stand up and say, hey, I support hunting and fishing and want to work with these folks. On April 20th, we're going to have a Sportsman's Day at the Capitol. That will be hosted by the Sportsman's Caucus. Weather permitting, we'll do a picnic out on the lawn at the Capitol. Steve's Meat Market has been kind enough to donate some elk dogs and burgers.
That'll work.
Yeah, we'll feed some folks and give the legislators a chance to hear from sportsmen and women and show them why we do what we do.
Well, good. Well, all right, we'll get you back on before that and really heavily promote that as well.
I appreciate that, Scott.
So how can our listeners be involved or learn more and just be more educated? And when I don't mean that by talking down to anybody, educated, because I need it too. So, I mean, is there a group that we join, a website we can go to?
Sure. Well, our website is sportsmanslink.org. But I think the biggest key to all of this is get involved with an organization that's consistent with your interests and what you care about. There are a lot of them out there, and there are truly just not enough folks in our community that are involved at that level. But, do your own research as well. See who lines up with where you're at. Pay the $35-$40 right. bucks a year to get.
Well, I think we're all in a great Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. SCI. I mean, those are great groups.
Absolutely, yeah. And we work shoulder to shoulder with a lot of those groups and state based groups like the Colorado Trapper and Hunters Association. It's important to work hand in hand with the state agencies.
Sure.
Make sure that those relationships are. In a good place. So yeah, there are a lot of opportunities out there, but the other thing you can do is just get to know your legislators, especially at the state level. I think a lot of people would be pretty surprised at how accessible and open they are, but just reach out to them, get to know them, and what we're trying to do is create a place for sportsmen to do that, and that sometimes that involves just getting to know them before you have to ask them for something.
Sure.
So you have those relationships in place, and
right.
they know who you are when you do come to ask.
Great.
Now, let me throw in something there, too. There's a sportsman's roundtable for each geographical region of the state, the northeast, southeast, southwest, northwest, and there's representatives that have been elected and then appointed as statewide delegates and each one of those regional areas. And in meetings are held quarterly, and then two statewide meetings are held. It's imperative for guys to get involved when they see those advertisements come out or they look on the website. Mm-hmm. That's the opportunity for them to go talk to Colorado Parks and Wildlife and maybe commissioners and representatives on those roundtables to bring their issues to the forefront of what they're concerned with and what they want to see happen, and they get some feedback and some information as well. Matter of fact, we've got one next Saturday in Glenwood Springs. That's a statewide one. We just had one down in Colorado Springs, I think on the 6th. I think the northeast one here for Denver is at 6060 Broadway. I think it's on the 20th at the CPW office. And it's if the guys are interested, that's the time to get involved on a local level and then figure out how that can go out from there.
Right. We were late for our last break, so I got to take a break real quick. Marty, hold on. We're going to have Marty Holmes join us from the Mule Deer Foundation here in just a moment. Again, you're listening to Sportsman of Colorado. Mr. Bob Rochat is with us, Colorado Parks and Wildlife Director. Dan Gates from Colorado Trapper and Predator Hunter Association. A lot of words in that, Dan.
I know. It's a tongue twister.
All right. Okay. And also Andy Treherne from Congressional Sportsman's Foundation. We'll be right back.
This is Red Merrill for Phoenix Weaponry. Phoenix Weaponry is a weapon manufacturer that services the firearm enthusiast. From precision ARs to suppressors, Phoenix Weaponry can make your dreams come true. Phoenix Weaponry is a full-service gun shop that offers gunsmithing, coating, and modifications to your own weapon. Phoenix Weaponry, family-owned and operated right here in Colorado. If you can dream it, Phoenix Weaponry can build it. Call today, 720-340-2496. Again, that's 720-340-2496. Or visit their website, phoenixweaponry.com. Mention Sportsman of Colorado and receive 10% off your custom-built weapon.
What if it was possible to train your body how to burn excess fat through natural, homeopathic means? Dr. Julie Marchial uses a time-tested protocol to unlock unnecessary fat stores in your body, converting fat into energy so you can experience permanent weight loss. Because this remarkable method targets only your bad fat, leaving vital stores of necessary fat untouched, your body will begin to experience balance in a new and healthier way. As Dr. Julie leads you through her unique weight loss program, your brain will gradually relearn what it means to feel full and to feel hungry. You will find many of your old cravings simply disappear. Call Dr. Julie at Ascent Health Center today to find out how KLZ hosts John Rush, Scott Watley, and Dan Muir put their bodies to work for them with unbelievable results. Call 303-343-8800. That's 303-343-8800. Or go to AscentHealthCenter.com.
This is Scott Watley for my friends at Rampart Firearms in Sedalia. This is a great store. Family owned and operated, they buy, sell, trade, and consign firearms. You will find a great selection of new and pre-owned handguns, shotguns, and rifles. If you can't find the gun you want, Rampart Firearms will special order your gun at no extra cost. Found a gun on the internet? Rampart Firearms will do one firearm transfer and the background check for only $10 if you mention Sportsman of Colorado. Rampart Firearms, 720-468-0050. That's 720-468-0050. Located at Highway 60. In Santa Fe in Sedalia. Rampart Firearms opens 7 days a week. 720-468-0050.
Well, we did it now. Hi, Dan Johnson from Lynn Lyle Chevrolet, and we received a special allocation of over 600 new Chevrolets, and we're out of room. So to relieve our problem, check these deals out. A 2017 Silverado Crew Cab 4x4 for up to $11,000 off MSRP, or lease a 2017 Chevy Cruze for only $199 a month, sign and drive. Or a 2017 Chevrolet Equinox for up to $6,000 off MSRP. Go east and pay the lease. Lynn Lyle Chevrolet, I-225 in East Colfax, or on the web at lynnlylechevrolet.com. Chevy.com. Chevy, find new roads.
Mornings with Steve Curtis on KLZ 560. Wake up at 6, then Midday Matters at 11. This is KLZ 560 AM and 100.7 FM.
Welcome back to Sportsman of Colorado. If you're just joining us, my name is Scott Watley. We've got a jam-packed studio today. Talking about a little big game hunting here in Colorado and just some of the issues, I guess we'll call them, that are surrounding us and all of our hunting and all the different things. And want to bring on now Marty Holmes. And Marty is with the Mule Deer Foundation. Marty, how are you, sir?
Good. How's everybody doing today?
We're doing good, man. We're doing good. Wish you were here with us.
Well, I'm over here in Grand Junction, beautiful 81 degrees at the Black Canyon Hunt and Outdoor Expo that they have. They've previously had, I understand, in Montrose, but decided to move up to the convention center this year in Grand Junction, and pretty good turnout, even though it's a nice day and a lot of other things people can be doing, but got a lot of exhibitors and a lot of interest in the building today. So.
Oh, wow. That's great. Well, tell us again, just for our listeners, educate us a little bit on what the Mule Deer Foundation is all about.
Well, we're one of the several nonprofit 501c three species-oriented organizations that have been created over the past 25 years, or so. Our mission is to ensure the conservation of mule deer, black-tailed deer, and their habitat. And we have members all over the country, but we have chapters primarily in the western United States that put on annual fundraising events, like many of the organizations. And we use the monies from those fundraising events to partner with the Colorado Parks and Wildlife, U.S. Forest Service, and BLM on projects on public lands to improve mule deer habitat, vegetation enhancement projects, water development projects. Some of those are research-oriented projects. Whatever, you know, the types of projects are that come to us from our partners, agency partners, is what we look at to fund and conduct on-the-ground activities and project expenditures so that we can get a little bit of a uptick, hopefully, in our mule deer population in the state.
All right. Marty Holmes is our guest from the Mule Deer Foundation. Now, I understand you guys got a banquet coming up?
Well, we have. We just had our one in Denver on the weekend, I believe it was last weekend, or weekend before last, because this is we've got a two-week gap here. So they see the 25th. One in Woodland Park coming up on the 25th and Canyon City on the 8th of April. And then another one up in Loveland on April 22nd. And those are the ones that are kind of coming up fairly soon. I just, on my trip over here yesterday, chartered a new chapter in Gunnison. And they're already off and running and looking to set a banquet date for an event on June 17th.
Wow. Well, be sure and stay in touch with us. And Mindy will give you my cell phone when we hang up. And, yeah, stay in touch with me so we can help you promote those banquets.
Sure, appreciate that.
Yeah, for sure. So, Dan, talk about just the importance of, I mean, organizations like yourself and, like I say, all the others we've mentioned today, Mule Deer Foundation. How do all you guys kind of work together?
That's a good question. I mean, the collaborative effort of multiple groups coming together underneath of, I guess, one umbrella. I mean, each of us, as Marty mentioned, we're our own groups internally. What we do, what we promote, but the big picture is the great big umbrella and the tent that we stand underneath, and that's to promote what Colorado Parks and Wildlife's mission is to be able to perpetuate the hunting and fishing and so-called trapping recreational opportunities in the state under the guidelines of what the North American model of wildlife conservation is. It's imperative that groups not only get involved, but they get their members involved, and if we don't come together and work with a congressional sportsman or work with Ducks Unlimited or NWTF or the Pheasants Forever or individual other groups, Colorado Trappers and Predator Hunters and Mule Deer, I mean, name them. If we don't come together, the opposition will eventually come in and take the rug out from underneath our feet.
Sure.
It's mandatory that we get involved. It's mandatory to join an organization, to do a banquet, to go to the Capitol, to be informed on what's going on. And educate yourself. Colorado Parks and Wildlife has a plethora of information about what's going on in the management guidelines and what they're trying to do. Mm-hmm. Get on their website. Punch it in under the search engine section of that. And if it's there, you can educate yourself far more than what any newspaper or legislator or so-called expert can, right, as opposed to this hearsay stuff that we keep hearing down the road. So it's engagement, it's involvement, it's participation.
Absolutely. And that website is cpw.state.co.us, cpw.state.co.us. And again, as you're applying for tags, whatever, you know, and if you've got questions, that's why they have a phone number, 303-297-1192. They are great at helping you out and answering questions about anything, really. And but it is something where we have to be engaged because, I mean, you look at all the gun laws, all the different things that change. You know what? A lot of us sit around saying, oh, things will never happen. And some did. So we can't let that happen. And I guarantee you these anti-hunting groups out there, first of all, they're well-funded. They are just as passionate as we are about hunting for not hunting. Would you guys agree with that?
Exactly.
And man, they're not shy. So we have to buckle up and say, you know what? We need to stand for what we stand for too. But you can't do, I mean, you can do that. But, man, having the education and understanding what we're talking about and how to address those situations is really more key, because when you get into a situation and maybe you want to talk about that with someone, you know, if you don't know all the things that you need to know, and none of us can know everything, but just stay abreast of all the things that are going on, the issues. And again, Colorado Parks and Wildlife does a terrific job on their website. I know I get emails. And, Bob, is that something people have to go in and sign up for to get emails about different events going on?
Yeah.
But, I mean, man, that's great. It keeps me abreast of everything.
And we could do a lot better. There is so much information we could load the website with or your email inbox. But, yeah, sign up. You can sign in, sign out. It's newsletters all over the place, and it's a good way to keep informed.
All right. Good deal. Marty, anything else we need to know for her? Dan, anything else we think we should address with Marty while we got him?
Marty, what's your idea as far as the coining of the phrase from some of the opposition groups about them being conservationists? How much money did Mule Deer Foundation raise this year, like at the Western Expo, for actual conservation efforts?
Well, our total proceeds from all the auctions, and of course we have a lot of special tags that we receive from the various Western state agencies. You know, Colorado Parks and Wildlife, we auctioned off a mule deer tag, a statewide tag, one for antelope and one for elk. And if my math serves me right on that, those three tags alone, just for Colorado, brought in probably $130,000, pretty close to. So, you know, that money all goes toward habitat projects that we meet every May in Silverthorne, representative of all the various organizations that have these special tags in auction and raffle. And then we meet with members of Director Broshide's staff and look at projects that come in from around the state. So, you know, we're using that that mechanism to fund some really good, you know, projects year in and year out from the sale of those tags through auctions at events like ours and other organizations, as well as raffles. That our total of expo brought in about $4 million on just the auction activity alone from all the hunts and the tags in the entire Western U.S. plus various other products, you know, that we have at the auction, outdoor gear and firearms and that sort of thing. But that's quite a revenue source, you know, that's outside of the licensing that you.
And that's just one little piece of the puzzle, too.
Well, that's right. That's right, Dan.
And one thing our organization did is we went back historically and added up all of the funding that's been generated since 1937 when the state agencies started benefiting from the excise taxes on firearms, ammunition, etc. We added up all of that revenue and all of the hunting and fishing license revenue historically, and sportsmen and women in Colorado since that time have put $2.5 billion into conservation. Just in 2015 alone, which is when some of the most recently available data is from, it was about $96.5 million. And that's wow. Going into to fish, wildlife, outdoor recreation opportunity. And if you go on our website, we've got a handout called The True Identity of America's Conservationists. And it'll walk you through that, and I think it's something that sportsmen and women should be extremely proud of.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Marty, hey, we thank you very much. Again, hang on. Mindy will give you my cell phone number. Stay in touch with me so we can help you promote these upcoming banquets.
All right. Thank you very much, Scott, and you all have a great weekend, and thanks for having me on today, and everyone keep up the great work for sportsmen and out in Colorado. We appreciate it.
All right, we appreciate it. That's Marty Holmes with the Mule Deer Foundation. Real quick before our break, hey, have you ever grabbed that favorite flashlight and then when you needed it, the batteries were out? Get equipped with the sun. Get a PSL. This is a personal solar light. It offers you hours of bright, beautiful light, extreme durability, no hassle solar charging, patented light control, and waterproof construction, all in one portable, easy-to-use device. Again, this is PSL. Go to personalsolarlight.com. We met these folks at the International Sportsman's Expo and have been doing very well with them. Every time we bring it up, they get a lot of orders. So check them out on personalsolarlight.com. It's a bright LED light, 107 lumens, compact and portable, weighs about 4.2 ounces. You charge it for 4, it burns for 30, and it's full waterproof construction. and just a great, great light for multiple uses. So go to personalsolarlight.com and check them out. We'll be right back.
If you're looking for great deals on outdoor equipment and clothing, we've got you covered. Hi, this is Bill Paddock, owner of the Outdoorsman's Attic, your outdoor gear consignment headquarters. You'll save 20, 30, 40, even 50% on previously owned outdoor gear for the fisherman, hunter, and camper. We also sell live bait, firearms, and ammo. If you're doing a little spring cleaning, bring in your gear to the Outdoorsman's Attic. We'll sell it for you and put cash in your pocket. You can also pick up your hunting and fishing licenses right here at the store. Your one-stop shop for all your outdoor gear needs is the Outdoorsman's Attic, located at 2650 West Hampton Avenue in Sheridan, Colorado. 303-781-3626. That's 303-781-3626. Or visit us online at outdoorsmansattic.com. Mention Sportsman of Colorado and receive 20% off all your outdoor clothing.
Hi, this is Scott Watley for my friends at One Shot Gear in Englewood. If you are a hunter, you know that after a full year of training, shooting, and planning, when the season rolls around, you are lucky to get one shot at a trophy. At One Shot Gear, they've got you covered with the largest selection of premium hunting gear in Colorado, like Blosser rifles, Sitka gear, and Night Force optics. The One Shot Gear team has the experience so they can help you find exactly what you need for the hunt of a lifetime. When only the best will do, choose One Shot Gear, located at 4720 South Santa Fe Circle in Englewood. One Shot Gear is your premium hunting gear headquarters. Call 303-284-3828. That's 303-284-3828. If Sitka makes it, One Shot Gear has it. They're the largest stocking dealer in Colorado. Ask for Grant. Tell him Sportsman of Colorado sent you. Mention Sportsman of Colorado and receive 10% off of all clothing and boots. One Shot Gear is an official sponsor of Sportsman of Colorado.
I was injured in an accident. At first, I didn't worry about it too much. I mean, accidents happen, right? But then the pain started keeping me up all night. And these doctor's bills, they started piling up. So now I'm stuck with a bunch of bills that I can't afford. And on top of all this, the person responsible is just avoiding me altogether. Come to think of it, since my accident, it seems like no one wants to talk to me. I just don't know what to do.
Don't just talk to anyone about your personal injury case. Call me, Kevin Flesh, at Flesh Law to get a professional opinion. I will answer all your questions, and I will help you determine if you're entitled to compensation for your pain and suffering. I have the experience and knowledge to navigate the complicated maze created by the insurance companies designed to minimize your claim. If you've been injured in an accident, call me, Kevin Flesh, at 303-806-8886 for a free consultation to find out if we can help you get the compensation you deserve.
Hi, this is Scott Watley. Let me tell you what I like about Stack Optical. They are truly one of the last optician-owned, family-owned optical stores. For over 48 years, Alan Stack has shown he really cares about making his customers happy. So at Stack Optical, you can be confident you'll receive personal attention, unlike anything you'd see at a corporate-owned store. Stack Optical has an on-site eyeglass production lab so they can put new lenses into your current frames. Whether you need office eyewear or a new set of shooting or golf glasses, Stack has the solution with the Stack Sport Pack. With well over 50 years of combined experience, Stack Optical will get to the bottom of your unique vision needs. Stack Optical in Cherry Creek near Colorado and Cherry Creek North. Give them a call today and ask for their $69 eye exam. 303-321-1578 or visit them online at stackoptical.com. I'm confident that when you meet the family at Stack Optical, you'll see the difference. Call them today for that $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578.
Hi, Dan Johnson with Lynn Lyle Chevrolet. And right now we're selling all 2017 Chevrolets at employee supplier pricing, plus all the rebates, for a total of up to $11,000 off on some vehicles. And we need your trade-ins, and we'll pay the highest prices anywhere, whether you owe money on it or not. Give us a chance. You won't be sorry. I guarantee you that nobody can sell you a Chevrolet for less than Lynn Lyle Chevrolet. Go east and pay the lease. Lynn Lyle Chevrolet, I-225 in East Colfax, or on the web at LynnLyleChevy.com. Chevy, find new roads.
Wake up with Steve Curtis, weekday mornings at 6 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Sportsman of Colorado. Hope everyone has a great day today. You can catch our show now on Sundays We are not here live for calls. If you're listening to this on Sunday, about from 9 to 10 a.m., we will replay today's show. So anytime you miss us on Saturdays, catch us on Sundays. And again, that's from 9 to 10 on KLZ 560, 100.7 FM, 95.3 FM, and 1220 AM. So you can't miss us there. Once again, just a reminder, get your game tags in here for the applications. That's April 4th. And again, the turkey tags over the counter, those went on sale the 15th, I believe. And then spring turkey is April 8th through the 21st. Today our show is brought to you by Lynn Lyle Chevrolet and our good friends at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. Complete pet care every day, all at one location. Been taking care of our pets now for about 13 years. And I love their motto and their slogan. We believe that all pets deserve to have a good life. You can check out their website, LoneTreeVet.com. Their number is 303-708-8050. Really, it's your one-stop shop for all your pet needs, care, training, boarding pets. And one thing they do have going on this month is, you know, your dog is maybe having a heartworm issue. You may forget to give them their medicine. So if you're having trouble remembering to do that, they now offer ProHeart 6, a new injectable heartworm preventative for dogs that lasts for 6 months. That's right. One injection every 6 months, and it's that easy. For more information, again, you can give them a call, 303-708-8050, LoneTreeVet.com. Let's go to the phones real quick. We got Wally on the line. Wally, how are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, sir.
So I've got... I'd like to just pose three really quick questions for the division, the head of the Division of Wildlife, and then I'll get off and you can answer.
Okay.
One, regarding muzzleloading and archery for elk, they're in the field at the same time. When is the state going to get smart and either eliminate the archery for that 1 week that muzzleloaders are in the field or make archery hunters wear orange because we're in the field with firearms?
Okay. Number
Second
two.
Second question. Regarding preference points only, now that you've imposed this $10 refund check fee, why doesn't the division just come up with a fee that they charge for preference points, no refund check, none of this garbage that you have to deal with? It's just a flat price if you want a preference point instead of having to go through with all this. And the third one, Scott, you touched on it real quickly about the youth hunting. I support the youth hunting. I support the first 15% of tags. My complaint was in regards to a specific hunt code, and it's EE851W4R. That is a youth-only hunt, ranching for wildlife in Unit 851, which is a trophy area. Last year, there were 81 requests for one tag, and just by the nature of a youth hunt, they can only hunt between the ages of 12 and 18, and that's if they turn 18 after they've applied for the tag. So that ends up being a weighted draw if you're putting in for it for all 6 years. Why should the youth be given a special hunt when they already get 15% of the tax?
Okay.
Hang up and listen.
All right. We're probably not going to have time. Wally, thanks for the call, too, and thanks for all you do here on KLZ. We are up against the clock. Can I stretch it 2-3 minutes, Mindy? Or two? All right. We got about 2.5 minutes here. All right. So, Bob, address what you can there, and then we'll pick up and we'll answer these, and then I'll get Wally his answers.
You bet. The first was the muzzleloader archery overlap, and many of you know last year a youth was shot by a muzzleloader while he was out archery hunting. This is not an easy subject, and certainly we've heard from archery hunters. We've heard from the family of the lost youth, and we're sympathizing with all of them, and you know how tight these seasons are running. This isn't just us making a snap decision. We've got to do what's right. We've got to do what we think is best. And the commission's still talking about it. It's if you want to separate the seasons, somebody's going to lose, and it's probably going to be the archers. Mm-hmm. Wearing orange, we had our commission meeting a couple months back. Even the family, they're archery hunters, and they said they didn't think orange would be smart to do for archery hunters. So, and then there's folks that just don't think there's anything needs to be done. It's a tragic loss, but it's one. And do we need to make those changes? So this is all the stuff we contemplate almost on a daily basis. And the commission's, you know, we're taking our time with this because we want everybody to be able to weigh in. So no solution yet, Wally. This is something we're still talking about. We still recognize this. Certainly anybody has the ability to wear orange anytime they want to.
Mm-hmm.
So we're encouraging folks, if they don't feel safe, that they can wear orange, and we're going to work on this.
And I would recommend, I mean, you know, and that's probably all the time we got time for today, all the time, but I would recommend wearing orange if I was on public land and not sure who's around, and just making sure and being safe, because, boy, I tell you, accidents can happen, and somebody gets a little trigger happy out there and thinks they see something they don't, boy, it can be messed up in a hurry. But, Wally, I promise you, we will get the answers to this, and we're going to do this show more often, again, with all these gentlemen, because just a lot of great topics come up, and an hour goes very quickly. But thank you all for joining us today. Guys, thank you. Bob, thank you. Dan?
Thank you. You bet.
All right,
thank
Andy,
you very
thank
much.
You as well, and thank you for joining us. Get out and enjoy the beautiful day. Again, Outdoor Buddies, April 22nd, their banquet, outdoorbuddies.com. For more information, AmericanHeroesInAction.org for their banquet, April 29th. Thanks for joining us today. Get those tags in by April 4th. Have a great day.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.